Well, good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. We're so glad that you're here. It's such a beautiful day. I really thought maybe we'd have a few extras this morning, and it's not going to be long. We won't be able to be enjoying this beautiful weather like this that we've had the last few days, and especially today. Oh, here we come, yeah. And so we welcome you. We're sure glad to have you with us. And I want to share with you as we begin this morning from Psalm 78, the first few verses. We're talking about hope today, and many verses gives us great hope, and this is kind of a passage that talks about hope. And give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praise of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he has established a territory, a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law of Israel, which he commandeth our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we're so thankful for a beautiful, beautiful day, beautiful Lord's Day. This time of the year is so blessed to have this good weather like this. And so it makes it convenient for people to get out and be about, and we thank you for it. But Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can come together, and we know, Heavenly Father, we're just a little handful here this morning, but we come to praise you and honor you and keep the light burning here from this place here at Porter. And we know, Heavenly Father, others are ill and others are considered the virus and so forth, and so that keeps them away. And so we pray for those that are ill, that they'll be strengthened, be well. We pray for those who are leery of the coronavirus, that things will come about, that we'll be able to get rid of that, that we'll not fear that, that we'll be able to come together and be the church family we've had before. But Heavenly Father, just now, as we come together, our desire is to praise you and give you thanks and honor you, and certainly recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as we come around the table after a while. What a joy it is to be able to come together and just to rejoice in your goodness. So might the Holy Spirit be with us and guide us and direct us and strengthen us in his way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Morning hymn this morning will be 310. We're going to do just the first verse. Let's all stand. I have found a friend in Jesus, he's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the privilege we have to come here and hear your word. We thank you for the people. We've asked for a healing touch on the ones that are not able to be here today. And as we approach Veterans Day, we thank you for the veterans. The one that gave their all, the one that from the past, and the one since present, they're all over the world. We ask your healing touch on the ones that are sick. We thank you for all the blessings we received. And we come down and ask forgiveness when we fail you. And we ask you the same in Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Communion hymn this morning is going to be 364, because I can't sing 375. 364, first verse only. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There oppression. precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain.
How many of you joined us when we were not here in the noonday communion? There was, okay. You may have heard this, but I thought it was worthy of ours and thought it might be encouraging this morning. As we come around the Lord's table, if you remember a fellow by the name of Austin Miles, and he said he was reading the book of John, and in his reading, he read then where Jesus appeared to Mary. And they had that at that tomb. They had that close communion there with Jesus and her. And he wrote this song, and most of you know it, what is the title of it? He talks with me and he walks me along the narrow way and so forth. And he got to thinking, what a wonderful thing it must have been when Jesus appeared to her there at that tomb and communed with her. Just right there in the very presence of him. And now Jesus has instituted the Lord's Supper for us. And it's just a tremendous feel of his presence. If we ever felt the nearness of the presence of the Lord in our worship service, shouldn't it be as we gather around the Lord's table and we commune with him in that fashion? And so this morning, hopefully, that we will gather around the Lord's table, and as we gather here around the Lord's table, we will feel the very presence of the Lord as he speaks to us and as we commune with him. And he says that, that he will sup with us. And so as we come to the table this morning, once again, we'll read from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 12. This is the Apostle Paul. You know this very well. I use this over and over and over. I really love this passage and all the others also. But I have received it. I like what Paul says. I have received the Lord, that which also I deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show my death till he comes." Amen.
Dear great Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity to come together and to participate in your supper. We thank you for your sacrifice that you gave on the cross. We ask, Lord, that you please help us to remember these emblems. This bread is your broken body. This juice is your blood that was shed on the cross. We pray, Lord, that as we remember this, as we think about it and mull it over with our spirit, that we commune with you, we get closer to you, and we use it to help our walk. We pray, Lord, your blessings upon it. We also ask, Lord, that we pray your blessings upon the offerings this morning. We ask that you please bless both the gift and the giver, that you multiply the funds to use for your kingdom, that it might further your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me share some thoughts with you here. Okay, we have a great number yet on our prayer list, and I've talked a whole handful this week and talked to them. Just talked to Fanny this morning. Her and Wayne is doing fairly well. Wayne has lost some weight. They took him to the doctor, and he said all the vital signs and everything was okay. And, of course, Fanny's having, trouble with the veins in her leg. I forget the name of that, what she called them, but it's given her some problem. Talked to Vernon, and he has a cold. His daughter Donna Lee is back in the hospital, back home now, but of course she has up and down, and so that's certainly need to continue to pray for her. Virgil, we're glad that Virgil's here, and we certainly missed you, and we're glad that you're able to be with us this morning, Virgil. Appreciate that. Donna Lee, as you know, all of you probably got the report on that she had the operation. It went well, and she's home and recovering. I don't know how. I never asked her how long it might take for her to recover from that. Maxine had the best day yesterday that she's had in the last almost a month. But she just wasn't quite up. Thought maybe she might not set that long today. It's been a problem for her setting. She couldn't set very long. She'd have to go lay down and so forth, and couldn't stand up very long. But yesterday was a good day, praise the Lord. And she got up this morning, and I thought maybe she might come with us this morning, but she said, believes she better just lay off another week and see how things goes. Anyhow, thank you for all the prayers that went out for all the people this week. A lot of things have happened, and prayers have been answered, and we're so glad and happy that to see those things take place. And maybe someone you want to mention this morning, or something you know about somebody that you want to share. Anybody, well, feel free to do that. We got a report this morning, and it's on Bergen, and it's real good. We want to pray that might be a false thing that he has that might be going on there. And I talked with Bergen back in the middle of the week, and he talked about his family and how they're doing good. But his father, his brother and his father are over the corona, but his brother's doing real good, and he's out and going. But his father had to be taken back to ICU and have a blood transplant because he's got another problem, not connected with corona at all. He's over that, they say. And so hopefully that'll come out. He'll be able to go back home also. Who else have we got on there that we need to make mind of? Pauline talked to her. She saw me last night. She was just finishing eating supper and had fish, and I asked her if she'd been fishing. No, she said she got them out of the deep freeze. But praise the Lord, she's done better with that arthritis and stuff, and boy, she was in terrible, terrible shape. And we're thankful for that. Doodle was wearing a heart monitor. I thought it was wearing one like I did, but I found out it wasn't. They had those things all glued to me for about a week, but he's got to wear this, I think, for 48 hours, if I understand right. And it's just a pack that he puts, that they have glued to him to get some knowledge of the rhythm of his heart and so forth. And hopefully that'll work out good for him, that he may not have to have operation of any kind. But they want to check it out and make sure that what's going on and be able to treat whatever it is, however they can. So be in prayer for Dudo and Peggy over that. I don't know, Kim and them, last week they said that they had been around somebody, and maybe that's the reason they're not here this morning, is that they had been around somebody that had corona, and so they wasn't here last week. So I hope neither of those are sick. I mean, anybody talked to them the last day or two? I haven't talked to them this week. I've seen her on the line there a few times, but I never talked to her personally. And who else? I know I'll probably leave somebody out that we make mention, but be aware of what's going on. And we're so glad that you're able to be here, and I just encourage you to take precautions, and I feel like you are, and I'm glad that you are here, and just encourage others. I called to several that hasn't been here and tried to kind of encourage them to be here. And because, you know, I mean, as I said, and I'll still say again, I think this is the safest place you could be. I don't know, you know, any other place that you could be safer than that, unless it might be in your own home. But all right, so great things are happening. God is good. And just continue, he'll continue to bless our church and help us. And we're thankful for you people that come and keep things going. And also we want to be in prayer for our little lady back there, Sierra. She's moving out. She's a moving up. She's going into her apartment at Georgetown on her own. And so that'll be different. We pray everything will work good for you, Sierra. And know it will. Okay. Nothing else then will... And
prayer hymn this morning will be 87, and then 87, first verse only.
O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's life for a look at the Savior. And life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and praise.
Farewell, Holy Lord and Savior. We thank you for the ability to come together. We thank you for the ability to pray, Father. We ask and pray for your healing hand upon our church family and members and those upon the prayer list, Lord. We ask for strength and courage and wisdom to be poured upon the elders and the leaders of our country and this nation. We ask you, Father, for guidance to help us to do what you'd have us to do. Pray for your blessing upon those of the caregivers and in the homes that can't get out, Lord. And we pray for your blessings upon this wonderful, wonderful world. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hymn of decision will be 331.
I had started a series, you know, of breaking down barriers because there's many things that we call barriers between Christian and non-Christian. But I pulled off of that this week because I believe I'll save that a little longer later until maybe more of us can get back together. And the reason for that was it was trying to encourage you people to share with others that that might become somewhat of our church or might come know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say this very kindly, but when this church gets back together, we're going to have to do some catching up, and we've got a lot of work to do to sharing the gospel here with the people in this community. We've got to be more encouraging than we have. We've got to be sharing with people. I mean, time's running out, and the Lord could be here any time, and we've got a mission here to carry this gospel out. And so the reason I had anticipated more of us coming back together, and it was an encouragement to, you know, even now we can get on the phone and talk to people that you know and build a relationship that you can encourage them to maybe be thinking about, so when other people comes back together, well, they would want to be a part of our worship service and a part of the kingdom working here in this community. And I thought this week, and I prayed about it, and I thought, well, you know, the way things are. So I'll take this day and to speak to you about hope. About hope. But before I do, I'll share this little story I read. And this young preacher, he had been invited to come and speak at this church. And so the first Sunday, he spoke for 15 minutes. And then... The next Sunday, he spoke for 30 minutes. And the next Sunday, he spoke for an hour and a half. And the elders took him in the back room. Said, what's going on here? Said, first sermon you preached 15 minutes and then 30 minutes. Now today you speak to an hour and a half. He said, well, fellas, it says like this. He said, you see, I just got new teeth. And he said, I wasn't used to them, and so I just preached 15 minutes. And he said, the second week I got a little more used to them, and I preached 30 minutes. But he said, I'm sorry, but this morning I made a big mistake. I picked up my wife's teeth. Yeah. But I've got my own teeth today. I've got my own teeth. And so I want to share with you some thoughts about hope. And I think today, you know, Romans 15 and 13, I get to, in other places also, but he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and trust in him that he may overflow, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're living in such trying times. This terrible corona has really taken its toll on our world, hasn't it? On our nation, on our great America. Our great America has suffered tremendously. Families have been affected in so many ways. It has placed hardships on hundreds and thousands of people. The last 4 years has been such discouragement. It's been discouragement in history. The leaders of our nation have been at such odds. Never have I seen such hatred between people who are supposed to be working for the people of this country, for the good of them, for the people who chose them into the positions they're in, to those high places, that they might lead our nation in a good way for the people of this nation and hopefully in a godly way. This year has been a terrible year. This election year, fighting and carrying on that they have, I would say that has put much strain on about everyone. We are unsure of the future state of America. And then the church. When we think about the church has experienced things we never dreamed of. Who ever thought that we would see the day that those doors would be shut and locked on the Lord's day? That we couldn't come in here together and worship and praise our God as He intended for us to do. And to encourage one another as God had intended for us to do. And then I think about people. People have become so weary, so discouraged, so despondent. We've heard so many say that they have lost hope. Hope of the future. So today I want to share a few thoughts with you. And I pray that it will encourage you, that it will give you hope for today and for tomorrow and for the future. We're living at a time when I think too many people, or so many people, are placing their hope in things other than God. Things like family, careers, health, government, material things. But friends, those things are just temporal. Those things are soon fade away. Hope placed in anything but God will certainly lead to disappointment, discouragement, and downfall. When we have hope in God, the things of the world become bearable. I don't know about you, But if I hadn't had Jesus Christ in my life, some of the things that I've had to go through in the recent years, I would have never been able to bear. I'm not too sure that if I had to go through those things that I had to bear back some years back without Jesus, I probably would have, bing! But because we have hope in God, because we have hope in God, good things happen. Good things happen. And we can bear up under those things that come our way that we can't do much about. When we have hope in God, we can know that good things are in store for us. Good things are in store for us. Sierra, making a new move, going forward. She's looking for good things, and the hope that she has in God will grant that. That's the way God works. When we have hope in God, it doesn't mean that we're not going to be discouraged now and then. But what it does mean, that we will not stay discouraged. I would imagine each one of us here this morning could probably say, we have had a day or two of discouragement in our life. But I see some people that think that appear that they're just discouraged all the time. So we may face some things that will bring discouragement, but that's not going to stay. If we have hope in God, that will soon be alleviated. God will take care of that. You see, we will rise above the trials of life. We can turn to God and trust. He's in control and He will give us victory. When trials come my way, I don't try to be smart, but some of them I just laugh at. Because I say, Satan, what do you think you're going to gain here? I've got victory in Christ Jesus. So yeah, He's going to throw trials. He's going to throw temptations at us. But we can say our hope is in the Lord. And we know that He's going to see us through. And He's going to bring us victory. So I'm not real worried. I'm not concerned who's president, who's not president, who's the House speakers, and who's all that up there. You know what I'm more interested in? This one called God. The Savior called Jesus that provides all things to us through His glory, as we've talked about. That's where I'm at. Our disposition in life will be that of joyous. I don't know about you, but I got up this morning and I went in and I sat down in my old swivel chair. You know, it's not my old swivel chair, it's Mac's old swivel chair. But he gave it to me. And I really enjoyed it. But I swivel around and looked out the patio doors and saw that sun start to rise. And I said, man, how blessed we are. I got no problems today except following Jesus, seeking God. So it's joyous. The disposition of our life ought to be a joyous one. We have peace that passes all understanding. People will wonder. I would imagine some of you have been asked, how do you bear that? Haven't you? You've had something in your life and someone said, how did you ever get through that? That's the hope we have in God, isn't it? He brings us through. He gives us victory. He gives us victory. It's amazing how that God's people handles trials that sent their way. We have an eternal hope, knowing that this world's not the end. That when it's all said and done, we have a hope in glory that is beyond any mortal words can tell. That's why we can have hope. Hey, we can have hope here because we know where we're going. And we know we're going to get there. So whatever happens or comes our way, we can have great hope in the Lord. We're going to make it through that. We're going to make it through that. This is why we can have hope and good things in our life and see them come about. It's all because of what Jesus has done for us. You see, when we have a Savior who came to give us life, isn't that what Jesus said he came? He said, I come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. That means that he came that you might enjoy this life, that you might have trials and temptation, but he's going to see us through them. And even through those trials and temptations, we can go forth joyously knowing he's going to bring us through and give us victory. That's what he came to do. When we have hope in God, we will not be despondent. We can know in our own minds that he is faithful. And that's another thing I noticed when the sun, through those bushes back there, the spot just like that started to appear. Oh, the sun shining through those bushes, and it just got larger and larger. And as I was having my prayer, I said, God, that just proves your faithfulness over and over and over. Every day when I look out that window and see that sun, it just tells me how faithful he is. He's faithful. So we have hope in God. And we need not be despondent or disappointed because we know in our minds he's faithful to us and that no matter what comes our way, we will be triumphant. Jesus said, I have overcome. I have overcome the world. And because I have overcome, you will overcome. You will overcome. Christians can go through the challenges and trials and that develops perseverance. Perseverance and character comes from trials that comes to our lives, the challenges that we're faced with. As our perseverance and character are developed, our hope is strengthened. When the Lord brings me through this difficult thing that I might be faced with today, that just strengthens my hope in the fact that what I'm going to face tomorrow, he will bring me through that because I've trusted in him. Our hope is strengthened through our perseverance in our trials and temptations. Our God is a God of hope. Hope here is an confidently looking forward to what is good. You get that? Hope is confidently looking forward to what is good and beneficial and expectation of good things. When we put our hope in God, we can expect good things, can't we? Hey, I expect good things every day. Even if it rains, it can be a sunshiny day in your life because you have Jesus there. He's the light of the world. When we put our hope in God, we can expect good things. When we place our hope in God, we can know that our life is going to be that of one that's richly blessed. I think we talked about that with when it's talking about Paul in the last chapter of verse of Philippians 4. How richly we're blessed. He supplies all our needs out of the richness of his glory, it says. And we experience that. Here's a thought. Go back to the book of Exodus in chapter 2 and following. And you'll read the story back there of Joseph. And Joseph and the Israelites. You see, the Israelites, during a famine, had went down to Egypt, the sons of Jacob, searching for food, and of course they come in contact with Joseph. At that time they didn't know that was his brother, their brother. But through it all, Joseph invited them to Egypt. And when they came, he placed them in a place called Goshen. And you people who have read the scripture there quite often know that Goshen was one of the richest places in the territory and real productive. Pharaoh had made Joseph Lord of all Egypt. Lord of all Egypt. And Pharaoh, after giving him Lord of all Egypt, he died. And after Pharaoh died, Pharaoh number two came on the scene. He didn't know Joseph. So he then, seeing the multiplication of the Israelites and seeing them doing so well, he decided to make slaves out of them so that they wouldn't overcome him, and made them then work making bricks so he could build a kingdom. He placed upon that the affliction of back-breaking slavery. So we get the picture of the Israelites who had come to Egypt, and actually they were invited by Joseph, even though the first time they came seeking food. Joseph said, bring your dad, bring all the family. He was in a position to take care of them. And they fared well. And now, they are slaves. They're slaves, and they're overburdened. And even double burdened when they had to seek their own straw to make the bricks. And the scripture says that God seen their afflictions. And he went to a man by the name of Moses and said, Moses, I've seen the affliction of my people in Egypt. I think we can take that for today. I think God sees our afflictions today. God said, Moses, I've seen the afflictions of the Israelites in Egypt. And I want you to go down and lead them out. Lead them out of that slavery. Lead them to this promised land that I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These taskmasters was wicked and mean to the Israelites and beat them to make them work harder and harder. And the scripture said they cried out to God. We find several times in the scripture saying that the people cried out to God. I would that more people would be like you folks today and cry out to God. That means pray to God. They were crying out to God. They were seeking his help. They were praying to him for release from that bondage there in Egypt. They were once in Goshen, just living a real nice living. Things were going real well. Israelites were growing. They were producing plenty of food. And now they're beaten down as slaves. And God told Moses, I've seen their affliction. I want you, Moses, to go down and lead them out. Bring them to that promised land that I've promised. And you know what the scripture says? God saw. And God heard. And God knew. And God came down to deliver. Listen, folks, God knows what's going on. God hears our cries. And God will do something about it. So God heard, and he knew, and he came down. So friends, when life seems to be falling apart, it's tempting for us to lose hope in it. It's tempting when things are all going wrong and we just can't see our way out. It's very tempting to lose hope, to believe that God is distant and he's disinterested in what's going on in my life. He's disinterested in what I'm experiencing. But friends, we can draw comfort knowing the character of God. We know God is good. If there's anything you want to know about God, that's one thing you want to know. God is good. Amen. And we know he is well able. Not only is he able, but he is willing to deliver us. Just as he was with the Israelites. Now, God showed that. God showed his concern for the Israelites how? Sent Moses to lead them out. Now, how has he showed it to us that he's going to deliver us? Very simple in it, by faith in Jesus Christ. God showing that by sending one mightier than Moses, he used Moses in a great way to lead the Israelites out of the bondage of Egypt and bring them to the promised land. But to you and I, he has sent one mightier than Moses. He sent his only son to lead us out of the bondage of sin, did he not? By faith in Jesus, we can have hope. Hope for good things in life. And we can see them come about. We have a Savior who came to give us life and to give us life abundantly. I'm living an abundant life. How about you? I think back. I had a wonderful childhood. My parents provided for our children, 12 of us, real well. But I didn't live in an abundance then that I'm living in now. Since I come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I can truly say, yes. He gave life. He brought life into this dying body, dying spirit, hopeless case. He put life within my life. And he gives it abundantly. I'm not saying it boasting, but I look at you people, and I look at your automobiles out there. I've been to your houses. It treats you pretty good, doesn't it? So I can look at where I'm at, and I say, yay, I'm living in God's abundance. I'm living in the abundance of God. He's promised that, and his promises is true, and it's come about. And he's leading you and I with one mightier than Moses. Oh, won't it be wonderful someday when we meet Moses and we talk to Moses? What a great man Moses was, a godly man. But to talk to Jesus, who is now leading us through this desert. Can we call what we're going through right now kind of a desert? It's a desperate place. But we're leading through it. He's leading it through us in a joyous way because why? We know we're going to have victory. I might suffer a trial tomorrow, but I know that trial is not going to get me. I'm going to get it through Christ Jesus. Amen. We have an eternal hope of knowing this place is not our own. And it said, you know, after all said and done, we have a hope in glory and a life that is beyond what mortal words can tell. So I encourage you this morning, this day, to take the gift of hope that God gives and live your life to the fullness in Christ Jesus. Be joyous, be courageous in all that you do. Believe God for the small things as well as the big things. I used to just kind of go to God for the big things that happened in my life. Now I sit there and have my morning prayer and I say, thank you, Lord, for the coffee maker. Thank you for the dishwasher. And I've been washing dishes, but I don't use that dishwasher. I do mine the old-fashioned way. Thank you for the furnace, you know. I'm reading the book about some missionaries who were captured back during the years when, in fact, they were in captivity when the Tower of Babel had, they were under captivity of the Muslims over in a foreign country and so forth. And I read where they're taking them through the jungle type places and they have to sleep on the ground and everything. And since I've been reading that book, I've become more aware of this nice, soft, warm bed I have. And I have to just add that every morning too. Lord, thank you for the comfortable bed I can lay down in at night and rest. Thinking about them people that's sleeping on the hard ground and the dampness and the coldness there. Are we living in abundance? Amen. So I challenge you to take this hope that we have and live to the fullness in Jesus Christ. Be joyous and be courageous in whatever comes your way. Believe God for every small thing that you have and takes place, along with all the big things. I think more people today are probably praying about big things. And you know, if we'd pray more about our small things, probably wouldn't have some big things, would we? Accept all that God has in store for you. Romans 5, 13. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us stand. Why do you weep, dear brother? Why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in His sanctified home. Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? Why not? Why not? Why not come to Him now? Amen. Once again, folks, thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning, and may you be blessed. And I hope the encouragement of hope. Hey, hope we've got good things out there yet. Amen. Okay, we've kind of passed a prayer around this morning, and that leaves you, Brian. And so if you will, dismiss us, please.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gathering. We thank you that we are able to gather. We can gather as free people. Worship you and open. Worship you according to your will and your grace. We pray you guide and guard us and protect us. We pray that we'll take your message of hope, cling to that message of hope, knowing that it applies to us as it applies to others. We can share it. We thank you for our blessings. We thank you for the abundance that you have given us. That being said, we also thank you for our challenges, knowing that they, too, can be a blessing. And all these things we pray, we go about doing your will. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, I wish I could stand at the back door and shake your hand, but I can't do that. I won't do that because I don't want to pass something to you, and I don't want you to pass something to me. You didn't have a chance to that, but I don't think of it. I wouldn't fear to do that. But God bless you. Thank you for being here, and may you have a blessed, great week as we keep following the Lord Jesus Christ. The family of God. Amen. God bless you, each and every one of you.